Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples on several occasions. Remember, there was the one time on the road to Emmaus where the two are walking along and they're kind of discussing what's going on, and the next thing, Jesus shows up walking beside him, but they don't recognize him. And they go on, and finally, it's later that evening when he finally makes himself known to them as to who he is. And then there's the time that he appeared to the disciples, and of course, Thomas wasn't there on that occasion. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe any of this unless I can reach out and I can put my fingers basically in those nail scars, in those holes, really, where those nails went through his hands. And unless I can see him, put my hand into his side, I'm not going to accept this. And of course, it was a short time later that Jesus appeared to him again, and Thomas was present and was able to do that. And of course, there were several other occasions, including the time of his resurrection, of his ascension back into the heavens, that there was a group of people there that he had been talking to as he ascended back into the heavens. And today, of course, is an important day in the church world. It is Pentecost Sunday. It is also Shavuot Sunday. Occasionally, these two fall right together on the same day. Shavuot is the, and we'll discuss that a little bit more later, but these two fall generally within days of each other, but fell right together today. But let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with verses 1 through 5. And it says, the former treatises have I made, O Theopolis, of all that have been Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then in verse 9 it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Then skipping down to verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Now, a Sabbath day's journey wasn't very far, and I've forgotten the exact amount of distance it is, but it's a very short amount of time that our distance is included in a Sabbath day's journey. But here they are. They've witnessed Jesus' ascension back into the heavens. He has given them some commandments here, spoken some words to them as to what he wants them to do, told them to go back to Jerusalem, and there they are to wait for the promise of the Father, where they're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So 10 days later, we find in Jerusalem, in fact, all of Israel were preparing to celebrate a festival. How many of you like festivals? Most people do, you know, it's a time that we celebrate whatever the event was, and generally we may get together as a large group, or we may get together as a family. Each group, I guess, has their own way of celebrating festivals, but most of us like to celebrate a festival. And here, Jerusalem and Israel is preparing to celebrate this festival. It's a festival that they had been commanded by God to celebrate since the time of the Exodus, and is recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 15 through 17. That festival called Shavuot is the second of three major festivals, Passover being the first and Sukkot the third. Shavuot or Shavuot marks the anniversary of the day when the Torah was received on Mount Sinai and occurs exactly 50 days after the second day of Passover. The word Shavuot means weeks, and there are 7 weeks between Passover and Shavuot. And it's referred to also as the Feast of Weeks in Deuteronomy 16:10, the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23:16, the Day of First Fruits in Numbers 28:26. Now, because of this requirement to be in Jerusalem for this festival, there was a large crowd in the city. It's just like you look around here living in the Nashville area. They have certain events that takes place in Nashville. And suddenly Nashville goes from a city of X number of people to sometimes double the size or even triple the size. Sometimes you literally have thousands and thousands of people gathered within a very short space of downtown Nashville for an event taking place. And kind of think of it this way. They're gathered there because they have been commanded to be there. And this wasn't just the everyday residents of Israel and the surrounding areas here, but it was also Jewish proselytes that were commanded to be there as well. So there were people who had came from other places that were there to celebrate this festival. And so they've gathered there, this large group of people. You know, God sets everything up on His timetable, His schedule, and He has a way of getting things done when it is just right. What better time to have that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost coming upon them, than when they are commanded to be in Jerusalem, when there's going to be a great crowd of people there to hear the message that's later going to be given. So here they are, they're gathered in Jerusalem, this large crowd of people, people from all over the known world possibly. And this is the perfect timing for this event that is about to take place, an event that is going to shake the world. As Christians, we refer to this event as Pentecost, which is the Greek word for 50. As Shavuot and Pentecost are two separate events, and they do not always occur at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, due to various variations of the two calendars, Shavuot being 50 days after Passover, and Pentecost being 50 days after Resurrection Sunday. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture here now from the Complete Jewish Bible, and it says, the festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which separated and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the rock HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now in the King James Version it reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I gotta say here, that's probably been one of the very few times that you got a group of people together in one accord in one place. Because it just seems hard to happen anymore. But here they are, they're in one place, and they are of one mind, one accord. They're on the same page. They are waiting for the promise that Jesus had given them, that God was going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And I don't think they were sitting around discussing the weather. They weren't sitting around discussing the festival that was going on down in the streets. They weren't discussing these other things, but they were in prayer and they were seeking God, that God would fill them with this promise that He had made to them. And then it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, thus fulfilling the words of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18 says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. A lot of shells right there in that verse. And immediately after the events of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that we find that Peter, as he and the rest of the group came down from the upper room out on the streets, a crowd was gathered around because they saw and heard what was going on. And Peter took the opportunity then to begin to preach to that group of people the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that he had went to the cross, that he had died for their sins, that he had risen on the third day, he had ascended back to his Father in the heaven, and that he's coming again, and that he is the Messiah that they had been looking for. Can you imagine? I thought it's kind of interesting. Some of you know there's a television series going on right now called A.D. The Bible Continues, and it's taken from the book of Acts somewhat. And I noticed as they did the part about the day of Pentecost, and they had somewhat of that pretty accurate. But then Peter and the disciples come down from the upper room, and he doesn't preach to the crowd of people. He goes over and heals the lame man at the temple instead, which, according to the way I read the scripture, happened at least the next day. But the Bible says that Peter came down, and these people are saying, what's going on with this group of people? They're all gone crazy. They're all drunk. Let's face it. Sometimes when you have a festival going on, people get drunk. And they're looking around and says, what are these people doing? They're drunk. And Peter says, they're not drunk like you think they are. Because it's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These people have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit has given them utterance. And God's power is working through us. And he began to preach the message of the gospel. So he preaches. 3,000 people get saved. And the world begins to change. There's a song that we sang years ago, and I haven't heard it sung in, I don't know when. I don't think I've heard it sung in the last 15 years. And I tried to look it up in some of the song books that I have at home, and I finally found it. It's in the brown book that we have here in the church. And the chorus of that song is, Pentecostal fire is falling. Praise the Lord, it fell on me. Pentecostal fire is falling. Brother, it will fall on thee. That's what was going on. Pentecostal fire was falling. Now, they called it Pentecost because of it falling on the 50th day there. But it was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It was the move of God that took place in their lives and changed them. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life and begins to move and operate in your life, you are a changed person. You're never quite the same again because God is moving in your life. There's another song we used to sing was, Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. I remember, and I reference the church I grew up in when I was a teenager many times. But as I think back, we went to church on Sunday night. Church started at 7:30 on Sunday night. Generally got over somewhere around 10 o'clock on Sunday night. Place was full. People came with expectation and anticipation. They were looking for a move of God to take place. And they were never disappointed. The Spirit of God moved in the midst there. People praised and worshiped God. You saw the power fall. You saw things, miracles take place. You saw people being healed. You saw people being delivered. You saw people being saved. The power of God was moving there. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before his ascension, "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. You will receive power. That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit was. He said he's going to send a comforter to us who is also going to give us power if we'll let him work in our life. You know what? You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost and not have any power because you don't let him work in your life. Because he's not going to do anything in your life that you don't want him to do. You've got to willingly let him move in your life. You've got to say, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, you can move in your life. I am yours. You are in me and I want you to use me. Or you can just go on and be the way you were before. I wonder sometimes, what has happened to the power in the church? Jesus said, you shall receive power. And we look out, we talked last week or a couple of weeks ago about the fact the Pew Report says that the Christian church is slowly dying. Really? People are leaving. I've read some other reports that have been published since that report came out a couple of weeks ago that says one of the reasons they think the Christian church is dying is because it's left the basics. It's left its roots. It's gone off into other things. Some have become a social club. Some even look like a social club. Some have become an entertainment center. And I hear more and more stuff in Christianity being referred to, especially when it comes to music, as the show. Well, we put on the show. I'm an entertainer. I'll have to say that some of the most anointed people of God that I've ever heard in my life were not entertainers. They didn't put on a show. They were humble people that in some cases the world wouldn't have given them a second look. But they let God use them and the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit moved in their life. And when they did something, whether it was sing, even though it might be off key, whether it was pray for you, or whatever, God moved. Because there was power in their life. We need that power. We need to want to see people saved. But how many churches, including this one, are genuinely seeing people saved? You can give a mass altar call. Hundreds can come down. But statistics show, and this one came from one of the best known evangelists of the last 75 years probably, who said, it's really probably only about 10% of those that come down that actually make a real commitment to God, that actually get saved. We need to see people saved. That's the whole purpose of the gospel anyway, is to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ and share with them that He loves them. He loves them so much that He came and gave His life on the cross of Calvary. The Romans didn't take it. The Jews didn't take it. Nobody else took it. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. Amen. He rose again on the third day as He said He would, fulfilling our salvation. We can turn to Him And we can have forgiveness of our sin because of His blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. But it doesn't take just a saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross. A lot of people believe that. I believe this or that. It takes expanding that belief even more and making it a commitment, turning it into a relationship. Because unless you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have nothing. Nothing. It takes a relationship. So we need to see people saved. We need to see signs following, because He said then there would be signs following. That means we should see some of the works that they talked about in the New Testament taking place in the church today. Now, does that necessarily mean that every time we come into church that somebody's going to get healed from some dread disease or something like that? No, not necessarily. But we need to see signs follow. We need to see a move of God in people's life. We need to see them change to where we know that there's a move of God in their life. Signs following. We want to see the laying on of hands, the sick. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall, is what it says. They shall recover. But are we seeing that really today? In a few cases. But unfortunately, here in America, which is supposed to be the Christian country of the world, we are not seeing it like we should be. Yet I read reports from pastors and evangelists in foreign countries that they're going to great crowds of people and they're laying hands on the sick and they are being healed. They're preaching the gospel message, and even though they realize that they could end up losing their life if they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are still turning to God and giving their heart to Jesus Christ. Because God's making a difference in their life. We need to see that taking place. We need to see it taking place here in America. We need to see devils cast out. You know, a lot of people don't know it. Or maybe they just don't want to know it. The devil goes to church. Now, I'm not talking about Lucifer himself. He's not sitting here in this congregation this morning somewhere where you can't see him. No. But some of his cohorts might be. They attend church. In fact, sometimes the agents of the devil know about the church and know things of the church better than a lot of Christians do. After all, think about it. Back when Jesus was being tempted, the devil quoted scripture to him. Now, he took it out of context sometimes. And that happens a lot. We get a lot of scripture quoted that's taken out of context. We change it. We make it come out the way we want to make it come out. We need to see devils cast out. We need to see a move of the Holy Spirit. We need to see the church. And again, just for clarification, if anybody doesn't quite understand when I say church, church does not mean the building. The building is wood, could be stone, it could be whatever material. It's someday going to crumble. And building is not going to heaven. The church is the people. The church is you and I. We are the church. We are the gathering. We are the ecclesia. We are the group that is going to heaven if we have Jesus Christ in our heart. Now, not every place that calls itself a church is going to get there. There's a church opening up in Nashville that I can almost guarantee you probably not one person in that church, as long as they're a member of that church, is going to make it to heaven. Because the church is based on sin. That particular one. And if there's sin in your life, you're not going to make it. The church. We are the church. And the church needs to get its act together. We need to get back to serving God. We need to get back to wanting God to move in our life. We need to be praying for that move of the Holy Ghost in our services and in our midst, that when we come together, we can feel God's presence. On the day of Pentecost, they felt the presence of God. We can't really even imagine how they must have felt at that time. We might can come close. But over my lifetime, I've been in some places when there's been a move of God. Sometimes it was one where there was a lot of praising and shouting and all of that going on. And sometimes it was one of those quiet, still, small voice moments where the power of God was so present, so prevalent. We used to say the anointing was so thick that you could cut it with a knife. Where that if you prayed for one person and they were slain in the Spirit, everyone standing next to them was also slain in the Spirit. We don't see that anymore. I see a lot of cases where somebody comes up and shoves somebody down. But I want to see them fall down under the power of God. Not because somebody shoves them down. I want to see them get saved. Not just come down and say, God bless you, brother. Now you're a member of the church. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. And you can go on and live however you want to do. Because that's one of the teachings that's out there today. Once you come in and you say, okay, Jesus, you come into my life. Now I can go live any way I want to live. Because I'm saved. God's grace has taken care of everything. I can sin however much I want to. And I know there's been some discussion about hyper grace among some of the people here as far as what it involves. But it is taking, again, God's word out of context. We need God in our life. We need the truth of God's word in our life. We need the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. And before we can pray that brother or sister so-and-so gets the move of God in their life, we need to get the move of God in our life. It needs to start with us. Praise the Lord. As that song says, the Pentecostal fire is falling. Brother, it will fall on thee. We sang it a little bit different than how I found the copy of it there. It says, let it fall on me. Pentecostal fire is falling. Let it fall on me. We need it to fall on us. We need that move of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need His presence in our life. And you know what? When you've got the Holy Ghost moving in your life, He will begin to speak to you. He will begin to lead you. He will begin to guide you. And then what we need to do is, as He leads us and guides us and speaks to us, is we have to be obedient to what He says. Because He can speak to us. He can try to lead us. You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Well, that's kind of the way it is. You can have the Holy Spirit trying to lead you, but if you don't want to participate, it ain't going to happen. We need to let Him lead us. We need to let Him guide us. And sometimes, it may seem strange, it may seem odd, but He has a purpose. And he knows better than we do what's taking place. Let every head be bowed as we go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, right now, as I pray for those that are listening to this message by other means, I pray, Father, if the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and lives. And Father, as this word goes out, that Father, there would be those that would be saved. Father, today, as this word goes out, Father, even though it's going out among opposition right now, Father, I pray, Father, it would speak to hearts. And Father, there are those that are going to hear this message. Father, as it gets through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, their lives are going to be touched and changed. And I pray for them today. And now, Father, I pray for members of our congregation. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts that are here. And Father, that we would make changes in our life if we need to, that would help us to be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. And Father, that we would desire, Father, to have that move of the Holy Ghost in our life. That we would desire to have that blessing in our life that He has bestowed upon us and made available to us. That salvation that He's made available to us, that filling of the Holy Spirit that He's made available to us, Father. All of these things that He said that we could have, Father, that we would desire it, Father. That we would desire it, Father, more than anything else, Father. That we would desire a move of the Holy Spirit in our life.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.